This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
When was the last time you ran up a mountain for fun? For most of us, squeezing fitness into our days often gets overlooked. As busy working parents, a walk, a cheeky 5K or a session at the gym a couple of times a week feels like we're kicking goals. But for our guest today, Katie Smith, if she's not conquering mountains and carving out many, many kilometres, it doesn't really count. Welcome to Tell Me Moya, where the chats are candid, the laughs are loud, and nothing is off limits. I'm Harriet Moya, and each episode I'm sitting down with brilliant women, or people who identify as women, for no filter and no nonsense chats about, well, pretty much anything. Real, relatable, and at times raucous, Tell Me Moya dives right into the conversations we want to have but don't have time for, and the ones we don't want to have but we know we should. Strap in. Are you ready for Tell Me Moya? Season 1 of Tell Me Moya kicks off quite simply with a collection of conversations with 8 interesting women I know. And nothing fascinates me more than the idea of absolute physical punishment and extreme fitness for the love of it. My guest today is a local sportswoman, internationally recognised triathlete, mother, wife and legend, Katie Smith. Katie, welcome to Tell Me Moya.
Hi.
I'm so delighted to have you in at the studio today. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And I believe a big congratulations are in order because you've shared with me that you recently achieved a very big personal goal of doing the coast to coast.
Yes.
Now, for the love of God and all things for those of us couch potato, can you tell me briefly what the coast to coast is for a start?
I can. So the coast to coast has been a dream of mine for a very long time. You can do it over 2 days or 1 day. I chose 2 for the first time. And you basically start on the west coast and make your way to the east coast. So start in Greymouth and make your way to Christchurch. And you run, you bike, you mountain run again, and then you kayak. I know. Kayak got me. And then you bike some more, and then hooray, you've made it. So people
like
do
that
1 day, and I did 2 days. So, yeah, magical. So incredibly rewarding. The training was awesome, but terrifying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, because throw kayaking in there.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, so brand new for me.
Right.
Was kayaking.
Was it brand new?
Yes.
Yeah.
And terrified initially of falling out and being upside down in the kayak.
Yeah.
You know, like obvious reasons, you're underwater.
Terrifying.
So, yeah. So, like as an adult, it had been so long since I had put myself in positions like that where you are so new.
Yeah.
And so bad at
yes,
something.
Yeah.
You know, like so as an adult now, I do things that I like, you know, have been bad at some point. That was a long time ago.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, for sure. And we tend to lean into the stuff that we're good at. Don't we?
So, yes, so it began and I just got lots of really good help from really good people and learnt several times I was bad and then I learnt I was terrible and then I learnt some more that I was still really bad and that I had to, you know, there was points where I had to make a call like, oh, my God, I actually can't do this. Like, really.
Right.
I was emotional.
So
oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
It was a long, long year.
Is it possible to do the coast to coast in a team?
You can. So I rang my friend after
like
one.
Phone a friend. Yeah.
100% after one failed. Like, there were tears. After one failed attempt coming back from Christchurch trying to kayak this Waimakariri River. And it had been flooded. I mean, you know, like the season had been wet all season. And so it had been flooded. There had been lots of winds. And I just rang her and I said, look, I can't do this. You're going to have to kayak. She'd kayak before. I said, you're going to have
yeah.
to kayak for me.
Yeah.
And she said, no. And I went and swear because she said no with an F before it. And you know, like it was absolutely like, no, you can do it. And I said, I can't do it. I
oh
just
my
can't
goodness.
Do that. I know.
Oh.
So anyway, a lot of self-reflection. And then that stubbornness inside me to be like, actually, I would rather turn up on the day and get halfway down the river and think, nah, there's no way, I've fallen out too many times, I'm too cold, all the things, then pull out prior to even starting.
Yeah. So a little bit of pride.
Charged on. And I did it. Oh, my God.
Did you fall out?
No.
What?
I know.
It turns out you're not terrible.
Well,
or did you just get lucky?
I think a bit of both. I think the flow was beautiful, so the chemic of the river was really lovely.
Look,
there
you're
was
talking
no wind.
Like a kayaker.
I know.
Listen to you.
I know, so funny. So after, there's a few professionals, they do the one day, their boat's more tippy, but all those facts aside, they, the girl I know, she won it. And I said, you know, she fell out. And I said, oh, Rebecca, you know, if you want some help with the lions next time,
you know who to call. You know who to call. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know. So really emotional at the end. Getting out my support crew, a really good friend of mine, Kate, she had been there with me for some failed attempts. And I just, the first time I did the river, I got off and I said, I'm never doing that again. And she goes, oh, no. Oh, dear. What do you mean? And I was like, no, I just can't ever do it. Anyway, 2 weeks later, again, obviously I was doing it. But
yep.
So I got off on the race and I got off and she was there and I just, I did it.
She's you like, didn't.
You did.
Well, it's just that in this time of our life, the stakes are so much higher, aren't we, when it's something that's scary like that and potentially, you know, dangerous, you know, when you've got a young family and things. It just it's just different to when you're sort of young and foolhardy and think you can do anything and don't really care too much about the consequences. But so how did coast to coast become a personal goal for you? Like why that particular race? Like
I have done lots of triathlons in the past.
Yes.
Some half Ironmans. And I think it's a really iconic Kiwi event, the Coast to Coast.
Yes.
So prior to children, I used to race triathlons quite competitively. And then, you know, I just, after kids, I thought I'd dabble in a little bit of this. Use a half Ironman in Wanaka, which is stunning. It's kind of our second home to get fit and strong. And then I thought, and then I'm going to go and do that coast to coast.
Yeah, okay.
I've seen friends do it. I've seen, you know, the social media around it is stunning.
Yeah.
And
well, I imagine it's incredibly beautiful.
It is incredibly beautiful. Yeah. And there's just that element of being in the middle of nowhere with all these like-minded people.
Yeah.
And everybody has a story.
You mean so, crazy people?
Yeah. Well, whatever you want to call them. But yes, you know, and everyone has the story as to why they're there. And there's a small proportion of people who are racing to win.
Yep.
Most people are only racing to achieve some kind of personal goal.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Whether that might be a time or a whatever. Most
or
people
getting
just
over their fear of kayaking.
Yeah, absolutely. And just finishing. So you're out there. And this year it really rained hard the first day. So we didn't do Goat's Pass, which is the run, which is beautiful. It's up through this river and you're clambering over rocks and whatever. And so instead we ran up what's the viaduct up over Arthur's Pass and then down. And it rained hard. And I thought it was just magical. It was so cool. And everybody is completely drenched.
Yeah.
Dripping. And the rain is just coming. And here we are just soldiering on.
Slogging it out.
And I just loved it. I was like, this is cool.
Well, because do you have moments of clarity when you're doing it, when you can just be like, oh my God, this is so cool, or oh God, this is so beautiful, or are you just so focused?
No, 100%. Absolutely thinking about how stunning this is. I mean, at times you've got to put your foot on the rock because you're running on riverbeds, so you have to be really present. That's the other thing that is so cool about this event is that, like the kayaking you said, you know, you can think about kids at home and family and the risks involved, but actually if you start to get distracted, you'll probably fall in.
Right.
So you have to be super present.
Yeah.
Same thing with the running. Like, you know, you got to be there in that moment. And I think today it's so easy to be in 50,000 places at once in your mind. So for me, it's like you've had this 2 days of just fully being here in this race with whatever's happening at this point.
Yeah.
And the other thing about the race is, you know, I've listened to so many podcasts that they do about, you know, what to expect. And everyone talks about, like, you will make a mistake. There will be things that happen outside of your control that you just have to figure out.
Deal with, yeah.
And it's like, you know, metaphor for life, right? Like, you just have to find a way and carry on.
So what was one of those things
for you? Oh, my goodness, my sleep, terrible. So I get, like, anxious, you know, about sleep, especially if I know the alarm's going off at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you're awake.
To do
from,
that.
Yeah, awake from one, just going. Oh, is it 4 yet? Yeah. If I miss my alarm. Yeah.
What's the time? What's the time? Oh my god! Now I have 3 hours. Now I have. Anyway, and so we were in a hotel in Greymouth, and it was hot, and there was no aircon, so I had the door open, and someone's car alarm kept going off every 45 minutes.
God.
And so I ended up with 3 hours sleep.
That's grey mouth for you.
And I just, you know, it was the first thing I thought, well, what can I do? Like, this is it. The race is starting this morning. I've had 3 hours.
This was the night before you started.
I've had 3 hours sleep.
Oh, so you're already
sleep.
On the massive back foot.
Oh, yeah. And but what do you do? Do you not turn up? Like,
no,
you can't. So you eat your food. You pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And you turn up and just get on with it. And so, and then the second night, we're staying in a tent because you camp if you do 2 days at Klondike Corner. And awesome again, just a real experience, real Kiwi kind of setup.
Sure.
And we're in these tents. And you got to go to the toilet, so out you go to the port-a-loo. And then everybody starts to get their cars, get their kayaks down to the river, the support crew, about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So all from 3 to 4. And so you're lying there, and I've had another 3 hours sleep, and people are starting their cars, and I think, oh, that's that, I suppose.
Oh,
so day two, and this is leading into my kayak, you know, this is the big, big moment for me.
You must have been so stressed.
I was, but also a really awesome experience to, like, switch that off.
Yeah, and be like, well, I'm doing it. So
I'm doing it anyway. Yeah. So, you know, here's my choice. Either fixate on that, get totally wound up, or just, all right, breathe.
It is what it is.
Yeah. We have to go, and we're going now. You know?
And it's temporary. Everything's temporary.
And it will be. Yeah. And it is. And it was.
Will finish. Yeah.
And it was. And the human body can do amazing things.
It sure can. Like, have three babies.
Yes.
Which
like,
is
have
amazing.
Three babies.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so you're a busy mum of three. And roughly, what are the ages of the kids?
Annabelle's just turned 11. Walter's just turned 9. And Vincent, or Vinny, who we call him, he's 4.
4. Cute. Yeah. So I feel like you're probably in that, in a sweet spot.
We are such in a sweet
spot. It's a nice time, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. Just that sort of independent and interesting people to hang out with now, to have conversations with. Not yet fully sassy.
You've nailed it. We just are like, you know, you can't freeze time. But if I could.
If you could.
If I could. Honestly, I think that daily, I just think these kids are so cool.
Yeah.
They are really fun. And they're fun to hang out with.
Exactly.
And, man, the stuff they come up with, it's awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So it is a really lovely time, to be fair.
So I can't even imagine how you would find the time required to train for an event like the Coast to Coast while juggling motherhood of three young children. So what does that look like for you? You mentioned that you got quite a bit of support and help. So did you use trainers?
I am really, really fortunate to have my mum and dad and Ben's parents in town.
Fabulous.
So
great.
Straight off the bat, that's the biggest one. Again, I don't have a full-time job.
Yep, okay.
My full-time job is the admin at home. Ben works. He is a coach for the Highlanders at the moment.
Yeah.
And his role is really time-intensive. So he's pretty much gone. We don't rely – I mean, with all due respect, he does amazing. When he's around, he's great. But I don't rely on the fact that he will be around.
Yes, the default position is sort of –
Yeah, totally. And that's cool. That's my role. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
But, my mum and dad is so, so important. Mum will just pick up all the balls I drop, generally. And Ben's parents too, they pick those up. But it is still busy. I have to give that, you know, credit where it's due for myself, I suppose, because I'll drop kids off and then I will go to do, you know, 2 or 3 sessions in a day plus, you know, groceries, whatever.
Life admin. Yeah.
And then swing by, pick up Vinny at 2:30, then gets the kids at 3. And then we're off to the evenings of sports, you know, swimming or whatever they're doing. And then homework, all the
dinner,
normal things.
Et
yeah, dinner.
I used to fascinate me how short that school day actually is. You know, you think you've got the day.
Oh, my God.
But it's like by the time they're all dropped off and you walk through the door and you chuck on a load of washing and you unload the dishwasher and then you make a coffee or something to eat and then you sit down to do the whatever. I don't know. And then where all of a sudden it's 2:30 and you're back to picking everybody up again. I used to think, what? How?
I know.
I thought I had this beautiful day ahead of me to be so productive. And next thing you know, like somebody calls and you lose your keys and I don't know. It's just gone.
I know.
Just gone. I know.
I feel, yeah, definitely. It's crazy to me how fast it gets to sort of 2:15 and you think, oh, heck.
Oh.
Gotta go.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Well, but you know, it does kind of bring me to the question that I've been asking all the women that I've interviewed in this first season of Tell Me More, and that is, do you think women can have it all? Sounds like at the moment you've got this lovely balance of things going on. You work full-time mum and lots of training and stuff, but for you, career-wise, that's kind of on hold.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what life would look like if you jammed that in there as well? Like, do you think women can have it all, Katie?
I think yes, but, major but, I think not all at once and definitely not perfectly.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, and I also wonder why you would want to.
Yeah.
Personally?
Because it's I'm too lazy. To want to have it all personally. I said that the other day. I was like, I don't want to have to be juggling things.
And I think, where does that need to have everything come from? I mean, you know, sometimes we expect maybe, or we want living up to someone else's expectations about what we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And is that what drives that need to have it all? I don't know. And I don't know.
And does that actually work for you? Practically, as a family, as a person, like the idea of it might be great, but in reality, what does it look like? And is that right for you?
And maybe it is. And everyone to their own.
Yeah.
Personally, I have, I like to give what I can and then make sure that I sort of never abandon the things that are the most important to myself.
Yeah.
Which is family. And the time, like we just touched on, the kids are such at a magical age. That time with them and with my family is, for me, it's the most important thing.
Yeah, amazing.
And everybody's different. Some people have their careers as their babies, and I could understand that would be, you know, that's that.
Yeah.
But again, can you have it all? I think, yeah, you probably can, but, at, you know, what expense to yourself?
There'll be something that's been sacrificed for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
And not perfectly and not all at once, I don't believe. Yeah. I think there's probably, I mean, life's in seasons, right? There's probably
absolutely.
A time where you're super strong on one thing and maybe you're just dabbling in other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then that swings, maybe.
It ebbs and flows, yeah, totally.
Big time. So yeah, I suppose it just comes back to whatever is most important to the person.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's an element of choice in all of that as well too, isn't it? And one of the women that I interviewed talked about how, for her, the idea of having it all was just having the ability to choose, which I thought was pretty cool, like a good way of looking at it. So in that sense, she felt like she really did have it all because she had chosen these handful of things to be her prioritise, and that was a real privilege to have that choice.
Oh, I think that's it.
Yeah, and so I think that that's quite an interesting take on it. And so therefore she felt like she did have it all.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a real privilege to be able to sit back and choose those things that matter most to you to spend your time in.
Absolutely. So totally. And we don't all, as you say, at different times in our life, we don't necessarily have those choices. Now we're just going to take a wee second to hear from our sponsors.
Looking to make your next property move in Dunedin? Call the team that lives and breathes property. At NZ Property Solutions, we're 100% locally owned, packed with worldwide property experience, bold ideas, and serious property market know-how. We're passionate, connected, and yes, we love a good laugh too. Ready for a cracking result? Call the team at NZ Property Solutions today and let's get you moving. 0800 229 655.
Thank you so much to Denise Casey and the team at New Zealand Property Solutions. Love your work, girlfriend. So I'm just here with Katie Smith in the studio today, and I just want to backtrack a little bit, Katie. And we've talked about the coast to coast, this Herculean effort that went into that, and what an amazing achievement it was. But I want to backtrack a little bit. Would it be fair to say that your first love was basketball? Was that the first sport that you fell in love with?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So right through high school. I play basketball and at 5'2" or 161 or 62 centimetres on a good day.
I was going to mention the elephant in the room, the old what about the shortiness,
yeah,
Katie?
I think the newspaper once called me vertically challenged, which I thought was probably a fair enough statement.
Yeah. But you must have been just speedy.
Pretty aggressive.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, back in the day I used to be fast.
Be aggressive.
Oh, yes, great.
Beautiful.
So that was definitely my first love. I think I loved that team atmosphere in there. We had some amazing people. I had a coach called John Paul, JP, and he was so selfless. He used to put so many hours into us. He needed a hip operation, but he would I wasn't known for like really sharp shooting, we could say. And he would just go run from side to side getting these rebounds. Oh, the man.
Oh,
was
with
such
his
a good
dodgy
man.
Hip, yeah, with his sticky hip. Oh my goodness. What a legend.
Absolute legend, yeah. So those were really good days.
Was in the end, like, you went overseas with basketball,
yes,
right?
So yeah.
Like achieved at a pretty high level. What made you decide not to pursue basketball? Was it height?
I think so. I went to America and went to college over there just for a short stint, and then came home and I sort of, I don't know, I did another season here with the Otago Gold Rush, was what it was called at the time. I don't know. I just kind of decided I liked the look of triathlons. I really wanted to do something on my own rather than the team thing. I'd been doing it for a really long time at that point, and putting hours and hours into basketball.
Yeah.
I think I was really at elbow height.
Yeah.
For the big girls.
Yeah,
I got knocked around, especially over there, but knocked around, you know, elbow to nose.
Did anybody sort
situation.
Of accidentally pick you up and throw you across the court, like thinking you were the basketball?
not as such, but I did get flung around a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious too, because my daughter started rowing and they keep talking about being tall, and I'm like, oh my God, this is only going to lead to massive disappointment for her because she's a shorty. Not short enough, not little enough to be a cox,
yes.
But like not long and tall and
I'm a big one for the underdog. I there are some really short people out there,
yeah,
who go really, you know, they go a long way.
Yeah, I imagine it's a totally different sort of set of skills.
You find your way. If you want it, you'll just make it work.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So don't give up hope.
Don't give up hope. All right. And so then you've mentioned that you were curious about triathlons. Like, what on earth makes somebody curious about doing a triathlon? Like, were you already a strong swimmer?
No.
So a biker?
No.
Runner?
I could run. My dad was a very good runner.
Okay, yeah.
So again, like I talked to you before, I was like a real try-hard.
Yeah, right.
I love people that try.
Yeah.
Really
that's
hard.
So cute.
I do. Yeah. I just think, you know, like there's so much motivation for me in seeing people try.
Trying.
And be okay about seeing to try and maybe failing.
Yeah, I'm a big fan
of
imperfect action.
Oh,
I just think it's.
I love it.
Yeah, me too.
It motivates me a lot anyway. So Dad was an amazing runner, really strong. And I could run, but I wasn't like, you know, I used to do 400s, I think. And I would be sort of in the finals or something, but would never win it, you know?
Yeah, well, that's already better than most of us, Casey.
Well, I mean, I try hard, you know?
Yeah, you tried really hard.
I was trying harder than everybody else. so I guess, I don't know, I must have seen, was it Hamish Carter won gold or Bevan Docherty, I think I saw at the Olympics, and that looked cool. So then I just thought, I'll be all right. I think I can swim and I could bike. And it wasn't until I started doing both of those things with people who were good at those things that I realised I'm actually no good at swimming. I'm really bad. And then the biking. I mean, I'm probably my strongest is the biking now.
Right.
So I can bike, but I had no real idea of how to train really hard on a bike.
Yeah.
So that was a real steep learning curve. We had really good people take us out riding and we would hold on to the bat.
Yes. How do you sort of tap into all of that? So you obviously you move in sporting circles.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to go as long as I can in this interview without mentioning the fact that your husband is Ben Smith, who is a former Highlanders player and former All Black, of course.
Yes.
Speaking of tryhards as well, like he was not necessarily destined for that, was he, really?
Well, it's funny because he like, yeah, so, I mean, people, it's funny, you know, like I am a whole person on my own, but I'm really proud to be his wife because he's awesome, you know, and I'm so proud for the stuff he's achieved. So
amazing.
That doesn't bother me that people say, oh, you're Ben's wife. I often correct them and say, no, he's
my husband. Your husband, yeah.
Yeah. Just one of those funny wee gags. But, so Ben and I were together. We were really young and got together early. Funny, like there's been stories about it, but we owned a house, our first house, and we had Susie Bates as a flatmate and Paul Grant, who was playing at the New Zealand Sevens at the time.
Amazing.
And Susie, she was in a talk recently at, actually probably a couple of years ago, at the golf club, Balmacuan Golf Club, and I was there. And she was being lovely, but she was sort of saying, you know, in this flat, I would get up in the morning and swim before there were all these professional athletes in the house and I was working. So I'd get up in the morning, swim before they woke up, go to work,
yeah,
do my training after work and come home. And they'd all still be sitting, you know, like they would have gone and done a few hours training through the day.
And they would all still
and they were all getting
like
paid.
and not like they hadn't left the house in that time.
So, it was funny. It was, just I surround myself with, you know, they were friends. So Susie and I played basketball together.
Yeah.
Back then. So, yeah, getting into triathlon, back to your question,
yes.
I think, I don't actually know. I don't know. I think I just found a swimming squad, turned up, and then went from there, met people in the swim squad that were triathletes, and then we biked together. We had a really cool group at the time, all about the same age, lots
they
of girls.
All training. And this is all pre-kids, eh?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Plus working.
Yeah, so I was working
say,
at
like,
the time.
Yeah, and so you have to train at least twice a day.
Yeah, those days were fun because, yeah, you could just, even when you're young, your body can take a lot.
Sure.
And so we would just thrash every session. We would just morning, afternoon, back to back to back.
And what about what about nutrition?
I've always been an eater. I love eating.
Yeah, right.
So I just would eat lots. Lots
of anything,
of everything, yeah. Like I just have my breakfast pre-swimming,
yeah,
after
second
swimming
breakfast,
and then big dinners, big lunch,
just to keep you going.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, it's funny that whole body image thing around sports is like, yeah, you're never immune to it. I think there's always comments. I've had some pretty gnarly ones. I remember running around Logan Park, and there was a good running coach at the time, and it stayed with me, which is funny. But, he was training some really good runners and he stopped me because he used to see me running all the time. And he said, look, if you're trying to lose weight, you should just skip for 10 minutes a day. And I was furious.
Incense.
I was like,
what?
Mate, actually, excuse me, but I've just won nationals. I'm okay. Thank you anyway. Went to my coach and I was like, oh.
Wow.
But
so his assumption was that you were just running.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think he knew what I was training
right,
for,
okay.
But I think he thought, because the whole philosophy was if you're skinnier, if you're lighter, you'll go faster.
Right.
So that was rife in triathlons, you know.
Really?
Because
I just think about triathlons and think strength.
Oh, same.
Like.
Same. But there's always those comments like, oh my God, you don't look like a triathlete. And I knew what people meant because I was more solid than a lot of the girls I trained with.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it goes back to that whole thing of, like, just never abandoning yourself due to other people's expectations, right?
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
I knew that I was strong and I performed better when I was strong than skinny.
And nourished.
Yeah. So I just eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great advice. Just eat. That's the best advice I've ever heard.
As an athlete, you know what you're putting out. And I'd just get dizzy if I,
sure.
And not on purpose, if I hadn't eaten a decent lunch, I would just get dizzy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'd be like, well, this feels awful. So
I need to eat something.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, and so obviously staying active is really, really important to you always, whether you're training for something in particular or not. And so how did you manage all of that whilst pregnant and then again postnatally? Was it like, were you active right to the end of your pregnancy and then straight into it? Like,
all three babies were different.
Yeah.
So with Annabelle, she was like a beautiful surprise for us, which was awesome. Ben and I had been together for about 11 years at the time when we were getting married.
Yes.
Planned to get married in the January, and it was June or July we found out we were pregnant with Annabelle. And we went ahead with the wedding, so I was 32 weeks pregnant at our wedding, which is so cool.
I love that.
Was that
scandalous for anyone?
No, not at all.
Great.
We've been together
good.
For
Thank
so long.
Goodness.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It was just
although
huge
I do love
excitement.
The idea of a scandal as well. That would have been fun.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, it was very straightforward. But so that pregnancy, I I ran, probably because that was my first baby, I ran for about 24 weeks and then it just didn't feel great.
Yeah.
So I walked.
Yep. Yep.
And my friends took the piss out of me because I would walk with weights.
Of course.
Up Mount Hoyt.
Just trying to get the most out
of
it.
No, just get the heart rate up because you couldn't run. So I just really, I don't know, I enjoy moving my body. I enjoy like that sensation of like having worked my muscles out.
Really hard, yeah.
And so that was that. And then with Walter, I didn't run for as long with him, just walked. But then I had Annabelle, so and Ben used to get so annoyed because we'd walk up Mount Iron, and we're both babies were born in March, so you know I'd be sort of third trimester in summer,
hot,
and he'd be doing his reps or whatever he was doing for his rugby, and I'd have Annabelle in the backpack and be walking up Mount Iron with this belly.
Yeah,
so he'd finish his reps and he'd come back, and be walking beside me, but people didn't know that he'd, you know, and he'd be like, "Give me that bag." I'd be like, "No." So I'd be walking up the hill with the baby on the back and the baby up front, and people looking at him like take
don't
the
carry
bag,
something,
dude.
Lazy. You're
and
lazy.
In the end, he's like, "Look, give me that bloody bag." So yeah, poor bugger. He used to. That was all me. I just like, I don't know, just enjoyed the extra
feeling.
Challenge. Yeah, but then there'd be times again. Every time there was a time when I'd be like, "Nah, that's
I'm
enough."
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just really listening to my, I think I knew, I'm pretty familiar with my body and what feels good and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And good. So the moment it didn't feel good, I was like, done, nah.
And back into exercise again after the kids, like walking to start with. And then,
I had three C-sections.
Yeah.
So first was an emergency and then the following that, Ben, you know, there's a long story, but he had a really terrible concussion, his first one before Walter was born. At about 38 weeks with Walter, and he forgot I was pregnant. So he was like, it was bad. It was a really bad one.
Did he have to like relearn? Did he go through all the?
It was Forsyth Barr. He went up, him and Damien McKenzie, I think, crashed in there. I was actually at a wedding at the time, so I didn't know. And my phone starts pinging, you know, and I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Got the phone call. He was really bad. He'd forgotten. So Joey had told him, you know, how many weeks, you know, when's Katie due, 2 weeks or something? He was like, oh my God, is she pregnant? So anyway, where was I going with that? So then Walter was another C-section baby.
Yeah,
we had
right.
that when he was off. So coming back after babies was never, it was just about finding my way again, I guess, and then letting everything slowly kind of come back together.
Yep.
Well,
there's this sort of 6 weeks of
nothing. And everything else.
Yeah.
And then I love to run, so I would try it and it wouldn't feel good, so I would walk.
Yep.
Just so
slowly.
I think
walking is completely underestimated.
I love walking.
Love a good walk.
Oh,
yeah.
So nice.
And you can get the heart rate up and all of those things.
So, I don't think you ever have to really prepare yourself for a walk. Sometimes running, you're like, have to really, you know,
yourself into it. I've sort of noticed even with walking, it would be like I could just walk through the door and literally change my shoes. I didn't even have to change my clothes sometimes as well, just to go for a half hour walk or whatever. And it's like, and then there's just no excuses.
Yeah, totally.
I love a good walk, although I'm sure my walking pace and your walking pace
are irrelevant,
isn't it? It is irrelevant. You're right. So you grew up here in Dunedin.
Yep.
Yeah. And did you, obviously you said your dad was a runner. Did you come from a really sporty family? Sport and being active been part of your
dad really?
Yeah.
Dad always ran from as long as I can remember. And then there's stories where he would run to where we were going, or he would run home. We'd be in the beach in Brighton. He would run home. Right. So it was just normal.
Yep.
Dad was a runner. That really, and I think that became normal for me, and he would take me out running.
Yep.
All just off my enthusiasm. I've got two older brothers, and they didn't really catch the running bug then. Now they do. My middle brother, Aaron, is he just did Three Peaks in Dunedin, and he's a really good runner too.
Okay, interesting that it kind of was a slow burn.
Yeah, and my oldest brother, Matt, he would be a good runner if he really wanted to be, I think. They're built, like, quite athletically. Long, skinny legs like my dad, like that runner look.
Yeah, yeah. My brother's a runner.
I've got my mum's beautiful, strong legs, but they do their own thing, but it was dad. And he's probably been, like, for me, he's been through all the different sports and different things. He's the number one supporter, you know, he's there all the time.
On the sideline.
Yeah. Mums does all the support behind the scenes, but it's dad that's like.
Come on, Katie.
Oh, yeah. It's so special. He was at the Coast to Coast.
Yeah, how gorgeous.
It was really cool. Yeah, it was really cool.
That's amazing.
He loves it, which is awesome.
And so were you one of those, as a kid or as a teenager, were you just really active? You know, one of those kids that's always tearing around and busy.
Yeah.
And because lots of Kiwis would consider themselves quite outdoorsy and active, but then there's like that next level, which is someone like you. So are there elements of your childhood that you are trying to instill in the childhood of your children's lives?
I think even more so today, it's just having an appreciation for moving your body, and being outdoors. We were supposed to walk to Miola Hut this weekend, in Mount Cook, but it's probably going to be off because the weather's so dodgy this weekend.
Not looking good, yeah.
But just doing things like that and making it seem normal. So for them, it's so normal that you would go for a run for half an hour or something, or that you would find your enjoyment being active with friends outside. And it doesn't actually matter if it's a sport thing or going for a walk or swimming in the ocean or swimming in the lake.
Yeah.
Just appreciating the outdoors.
And just making that normal.
Yeah, normal. So that we're not, the normal for our children is not to sit inside and play on some sort of PlayStation, and kudos to whatever people want to do with their kids' lives. But for us, that's not it. It's more... get your enjoyment in the world that is around you.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Then it's time for downtime at the end of the day. But yeah, I think that's probably the same as my childhood, as we used to play a lot, be outside a lot, be at the beach a lot.
Doing and being
rather than just sitting at home and doing nothing and being consumed by technology.
It's amazing. Like, I remember my girls would be so resistant to walks and stuff, but now as young teens, they take themselves on walks and take themselves on runs. And it's like all those times where you had to really drag them, you know, you had to work really hard to be like, come on, we'll all feel better.
Yes.
We all go outside and whatever. And it would be like, nah, that one. And, but now it's like they know that about themselves.
Yeah.
They know if they're in a bit of a funk, they're like, I'm just going to go for a walk.
I mean, you feel that in yourself.
Totally.
And so many times.
You never regret it.
Never. So many times with our kids, they've been in a bit of a, you know, flap or whatever, and we've gone for a walk around Ross Creek. And it still blows my mind how fast they kick and, you know, they're not interested in coming, and then they're in there. And next minute they're just like,
everyone's off exploring this.
And they're running and they're picking up leaves and they've got their stick. And
totally.
And it's just this incredible energy shift. It amazes me every time. I'm like, why am I surprised?
We used to live up the coast in Seacliff, and when the children were really little, the girls were really little, it was the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as soon as, if I was having one of those days where everyone was just claustrophobic and stroppy and whatever, I'd be like, right. Beach,
definitely.
Just chuck in a couple of cups and a scoopy thing, and away we went.
Water, just add water.
Water, put them in a bath, put the sprinkler on, anything.
Yeah,
totally. So I just got one more question before we go to another little word from our sponsor. Are all of your kids sporty, do you think, or do you have like a rogue creative?
We have a rogue creative.
Oh, yeah, I'm so happy for you.
Same. And we don't know quite what to do.
send them to me.
I will. No, we have, the kids are amazing. And our oldest is very much like me. Bless her. She is 100% into everything. Is a real good try hard.
Yeah.
She is,
fabulous.
Honestly, I love it.
That is an eldest child kind of trait as well.
I adore that child. And then my middle child, Walter, he's actually really coming into his own with the sport, which is cool.
Yeah.
But he is super creative.
Beautiful.
Yeah, oh my goodness. And he blows my mind. And I'm not sure exactly how we do it, because Ben and I are not creative in that way. And so we're trying to be like, okay, let's find you some. He was really interested in learning an instrument.
Yep.
He's really like, he loves to draw. He loves to create stories. He's made like a series of these books about alien and something else. you know, awesome. Loves to read. Yeah. He'll sit there and be consumed by these books. And we just look at each other. We're like, that's cool.
Yeah. Wow. What do we do with that?
Well, yeah. Whereas the oldest one's like, okay, I'll read for 5 minutes. And then she's like, she's just like, oh, God, he's still reading. Maybe she's still reading. Yeah, so he's phenomenal. He's the most amazing kid. But
awesome.
That real second born sort of attitude of like, you know, the oldest born is a people pleaser and the second ones are sort of just like pleasing themselves.
Yeah.
Which I find really refreshing and
nice.
Super cool.
Actually, in our house, it's the other way around. My eldest daughter's a bit of an anomaly. She's so authentic.
Oh, cool.
It's really cool. It's so cool. It's like never lose that. Lose that. Yeah. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. It's still a learn. It's still a thing I have to learn, lean into is to like constantly remind myself you don't have to be pleasing
everyone.
Just let that, let those expectations of God, they got to go,
They've got to go, yeah. Which leads nicely into the next few questions I wanted to ask you, but we will just hear another word from our sponsors.
Looking to make your next property move in Dunedin? Call the team that lives and breathes property. At NZ Property Solutions, we're 100% locally owned, packed with worldwide property experience, bold ideas, and serious property market know-how. We're passionate, connected, and yes, we love a good laugh too. Ready for a cracking result? Call the team at NZ Property Solutions today and let's get you moving. 0800 22 96 55.
So I'm here with Katie Smith today and we've just been talking about your beautiful kids and your one rogue creative, which is really awesome. And we were talking about the sort of people pleaser dynamic that we probably both suffer from a wee bit and learning all the time about how to not succumb to that. And I was thinking about, you know, being the wife of an All Black and being a relatively high-profile couple in Dunedin and constantly under sort of public scrutiny. And do you feel pressure to sort of act or be a certain way?
Not now. It's, you know, when Ben first started playing rugby, we were still pretty young. I think, you know, there's that WAG thing, title. That, you know, gets thrown around.
Wife and girlfriends of rugby players.
I think it's come from the English football team. You know, when Victoria Beckham was a WAG, that was kind of the thing.
Right.
And then they sort of started their All Blacks partners and wives, whatever. And I knew early on that I just didn't fit what I perceived to be a WAG. I didn't dress like I don't have like the upbeat fashion. I'm not up to date with all the latest of the latest of whatever. And so I think, from an early stage, I just had to be like, oh, well, I am who I am. And
beautiful.
That expectation that I might look a certain way because I'm married to this guy had to go. I just didn't.
So you didn't succumb. You were like, well,
And I sort of feel like I'm quite stubborn about that even now. And often I don't think now, like I think people, I don't really realize honestly, but maybe they still recognize Ben. I'm not sure, but you know, like sometimes you sit there and think, oh, I wonder what people, I don't wonder, you know, what people think.
Yeah. Actually.
And like, I actually am really comfortable with who I am at the moment.
So it strikes me that you have some really, really strong values that you are like immovable, which is so amazing. And do you think that they were founded in like partly how you grew up and now you and Ben seem to have, you know, very much appear to be very much on the same page about your values and your parenting and your life together and what's important and what you want that to look like? And so, I mean, how does that work for you two behind closed doors? You know, like, what is that?
I think both Ben and I have like really strong family values. Yep. I think what happens inside our little family unit and in our house is more important than anything else.
Yes.
So, you know, we work really hard at making sure that, you know, like, hence why I don't work. That's a decision that we make, that we're in a really nice position and it's a great privilege. Yep. We understand that. And I love it. I love being able to be there for the kids. You know, should someone be sick? Should someone need help at school? Should someone, I know, and at this time period of my kids' lives is so short that I am just there and present. So being present is really important to us.
Yes.
And able to just soak up all these moments as they happen is really important. Yeah, I mean, we try and be pretty authentic, I suppose, in the way that we like it to be real.
Present in the world, yeah.
You know, so we're not perfect in any stretch of the imagination, but you're sort of what you see is also probably what you get with us.
I definitely get that impression. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, and I come from a really strong family background. He's got a beautiful, strong family. So I think that's just the most important thing. So we kind of, that's rooted in deep. And then everything else kind of comes out of that, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's...
And him and I, like, again, going back to the impression of, you know, other people or whatever, him and I are really solid. And so, yeah, I don't know. We kind of don't really notice if people are thinking about us a certain way or if we're meeting those expectations
just busy doing you.
Or not.
Yeah.
Too busy living in our own lane.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Too busy. And I think most people, I don't understand, we get the time to be worrying about other people. Where does that time come from? I don't know. You're like, too busy here.
One thing I've always noticed about when you sort of set those boundaries around family time or like what your priorities are is that it always then works out.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, if you have a dilemma or something, because I have this all the time because it's just me and the girls.
Yeah, right.
And there's a constant push and pull for me with work and travel and, you know, versus being present. And they're a bit older now, so we've kind of reached a point where I think we've made it work, but I constantly still feel guilty about not being there all the time. But whenever there is a dilemma about, oh, there's a gig or there's my daughter's school show or whatever, and I choose the school show, something always works out, like that gig changes date or I don't know, just kind of, it's like that real alignment of your values and your priorities. It just ends up working out.
Yeah.
Like there's something in that.
I think you make it, you sort of make it work. And I think nothing is perfect. Again, like nothing can be perfect. And sometimes the gig will have to happen because if it doesn't shift and this is your moment, this is for you.
The thing that you have to do.
In your life, this is your life, this is your moment. It could lead on to this the next thing.
Yeah, and because there will be life for me after the kids as well that you are working towards.
This is your one shot at it. Yeah. You know, so I think you're allowed to do that. And again, fortunate Ben and I have each other, so when it's my moment, as in a coast to coast, he'll step in.
Yeah.
And my mum and dad will step in. And when it's his moment, then I take that.
Yes.
So kudos as a single mother, that is, you know, a huge role.
Well, yeah, you constantly feel like you're not, you know, you're not killing it in any area. But we all feel like that anyway.
No, but a huge acknowledgement because that is a big role.
Oh, thank you, Katie. It is. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And so,
you know, you've got to give yourself a little bit of grace.
Well, this is the thing too, like, as we've talked about, as you just mentioned too, like career-wise, I sort of feel like things are starting to happen. And if I was to constantly be delaying those things, then, you know,
your girls will see you try.
Exactly.
You know, they see the process.
Yeah.
They see the attempt.
They understand the sacrifices.
Yeah. And they'll see... I mean, I just, again, I go back to being a bit of a tryhard, but I think it's just so much in seeing someone give it a go, someone try, all in, and if they fail, it's like, well, there's no shame.
No, I gave it everything.
You
I
gave
had.
It
yeah,
the
yeah.
whole go. And
totally.
So for your kids to see that, I think that kind of opens the door for them to understand that trying and failing is part of life, and that's actually
amazing. Yeah,
that'll
absolutely.
Open up a lot of doors for them.
Yes.
Because they won't be so scared to try.
To try. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Amazing. Thanks.
No worries.
Katie. Oh, I'm so glad you're here today. And so... how do you maintain like your real sense of self and your identity, you know, as part of this high profile relationship and being a parent and a mother? I think you've talked about it a little bit in the sense that you have a mutual understanding where when you need the time or the space that you Ben can give you that and vice versa. Is that's how that works?
Yeah, we've come both from really strong families, so we've got good support networks there. I think, we do it a lot together. And then there's times when just naturally you've got to have your thing.
Yep.
For me, you know, there's I do a little bit of yoga teaching, which has been left field for me. Probably. But has filled a really, really important part of my life because motherhood did crack me open big time. And so when that happened, I had to reevaluate life and who I was and what I was doing and moving forward, who did I become? And so there was things that I did around that to kind of help my own mental health. And then, yeah, and then aside from that, we just, you got to have things that are your non-negotiables that are your most important, I believe.
Yes.
And then everything else goes on top of that.
Yep.
And you sort of piece it all together in a messy kind of way.
Yeah. But just being really clear about it and articulating what those things are.
Yeah.
That's got to be.
And it's planning and it's being ready and prepared and forward thinking, which, you know, I do most of that and then put it in the diary and then sort of comes across it every week.
Yeah. What am I doing this week?
Yeah. Where am I supposed to be?
Yeah. But in a way, it's quite good having the one person across all of that because then you know what's going on.
That's my role. So that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And so you've just ticked off the coast to coast. So what's next? What are you like? Or is it like when you give birth and you're like, never again, and then you need a few months like, it's different.
Oh, no, I would do it every year. We're going to do it in a team next year.
Cool.
The longest day.
You'll be kayaking?
Oh, no, I'm not going to be kayaking. I'm going to continue to kayak and carry on. But that was the most time intensive thing for me.
Yeah.
Which was pressure for our family because I had to go away to do the guided trips down this river, which took all weekend or took 4 days.
Yeah, sure.
And then, you know, people were helping us out there. So with taking that part out, I'm just going to cycle, which I love to do.
Yeah,
I can do around Dunedin because such good cycling around here.
Yep.
And then I'll slot in with the team and then hopefully a year or two down the track, I'll do the longest day by myself. But, you know, of all the things we've covered, it's a really selfish sport. In terms of like, I need this time and I need
the
some
hours,
more time, I need some more time. And you're on summer holidays and it's like, okay, I'll get up super early and do that. But then, you know, we're going to be out all day. And in your mind, you're thinking, I need to do this. If I don't do this today, I'm going to do that tomorrow. And then such and such is coming to stay.
Yeah.
So it's just a juggle. And I think to do it every year would be too much for our family.
Yep.
So you just got to reevaluate.
So would you do something smaller?
Yeah, we're going to, like, a couple of girlfriends and I are going to do some row gains. There's some running races later in the year. All things that I do anyway. I love to the training, if you will, like the running and the riding.
Yep.
I love all that. That stuff I'll do all the time. So it's just sort of kind of part of your life and turn up to something and do it.
Yeah, fabulous. Non-negotiables for you.
It is. Yeah, I'm a better person when I have that time to do that stuff.
Yeah. Amazing. Mm. Oh my gosh, it's been such an absolute delight to chat with you today, Katie.
Thank
I'm so
you.
Glad. Katie came into Buster Greens not long ago and I was like, Katie, it's you. I need to talk to you. I want to talk to you. And she was like, sure. So fabulous.
Fun.
So lucky for that we had that encounter and just feel really grateful that you've given up your hour to come and chat with me today. So you've been listening to Katie Smith in conversation with Harriet Moyer on Tell Me Moyer. To find out more about Katie and Ben, you can read Ben's memoir, More Than a Game, available at all good bookstores and the library, which is where I got out my copy. For more information about me and my shows and shenanigans, you can follow me on Instagram or Facebook. That's Harriet Moyer, Entertainer MC. Harriet Moyer, M-O-I-R, Entertainer MC. You've been listening to Tell Me Moyer, where the conversations with women are brave, bold, and occasionally make you clutch your pearls in a good way. Heard something that made you gasp, giggle, or immediately text your group chat? Don't worry, we've got you. You can replay this episode or dive into more colourful conversations at oar.org.nz or find us on your favourite podcast platform. For more information about my shows and shenanigans, follow me on Instagram and Facebook, Harriet Moyer, Entertainer MC. Thanks so much to Denise Casey and the legends at New Zealand Property Solutions for their tremendous support. Now, go on, hit subscribe. You know you want to.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.